We're here for the next several weeks talking about God's remedy for a sick nation. God's remedy for a sick nation. You know, I'm so glad as we look at the Word of God from Genesis right on through how God miraculously always provides a way for people to have fellowship with Him and to know Him. Regardless of what their situation is, the time or the time they're living in, God's always had a way. Through the tabernacle, through the temple, right on now to where we are, the dispensation of grace, the Holy Spirit that lives within us. Listen, we're living in the best times, folks. We really are, the dispensation of grace. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. God's always with us. We don't have to go to the temple to be in His presence. He's always with us, every day, every hour. And I'm glad to know that He does love us and cares about us and wants to meet our every needs. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We want to read together. I'll read first, then we'll read together, verse 14. This is our theme this month, these next few weeks, as we focus upon God's remedy for a sick nation. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let's read it together, please, out loud. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I'm glad to know that God's Word is true. God's Word is true from Genesis to Revelation. What God says, you can count on it, folks. You really can. But I've said before, and I'm afraid today, we're maybe not able, not willing to pay the sacrifice that we need to pay for this to be accomplished. 2 Chronicles, I said, books of Chronicles has been considered the books of hope. The books of hope. The Bible is a book of hope, continually, all the way through it. We have the blessed hope, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in the book of Chronicles, seek the Lord is the key to this book. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord is the key to salvation, is it not? You're saved because you sought the Lord. The Lord sought us, I should say. He sought us. And we see here, we see also that seeking the Lord is the key to victory in our lives as the children of God. Seeking the Lord is the key to living the Christian life. Folks, I need His help every day. I don't know about you. I need His guidance every day. I need instruction from Him every day, and I get it through the Word of God as I read it every day of my life. So we see that it's necessary. We see also, as we rely upon God every day in our life, we can see mighty and marvelous things accomplished. Because He accomplishes it for us. Not us, but He does it for us. God has miraculously helped all of us in our lives, no doubt about that. And we're thankful for that because we sought Him. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, we're not going to read that, but just a reference to it, as a review from last week, we see the Holy Spirit spoke to David concerning the necessary for replacing the tabernacle with a permanent building. We see in verse number 3 how David was forbidden, though, to build the house because he was a man of war. He shed innocent blood. So God did not permit David to be able to do that. However, we do see that in 2 Samuel that God allowed him to purchase a place for it to be at, the site where it's going to be at. We also see that he also collected much materials for the construction of the temple also. We also see that he committed the task to his son Solomon, and this is God's will. So we see David had a big part in the construction and in the part of the temple, not the building of it, but getting it ready. Last week we talked about 2 Chronicles chapter 1 through 5. We give an overview of this. We see in chapter 1 how Solomon honored God by making sacrifices to God. We also see how he honored God by prayer. What God asked Solomon. God asked Solomon, what shall I give thee? What shall I give thee? And what was his response? I want what? Wisdom. He says, I want wisdom. And because he asked for wisdom, God not only gave him wisdom, but he gave him riches. He gave him wealth. He gave him everything he needed to do the job that God had asked him to do because of that. We also see that Solomon honored God by increasing Israel's strength and also their wealth and their trade in chapter 1. Chapter 2, we see that Solomon encouraged the merchants and the manufacturers in that time to prosper in all this. And even though building was the work of Solomon, he did help them. We see he appointed laborers, many laborers, to do this task of building the temple. He also asked the king for materials and supplies, and the king certainly graciously did that for him in this big project. So we talked about the temple, the place, the furniture of it, and the temple being built and furnished by God. So now, we see now, as we look in chapter 6 of 2 Chronicles, chapter 6 today, we're going to be talking about this portion of Scripture. So we see that Israel's holiest possession, which is the Ark of the Covenant, is now being transferred to the Israel's holiest place, which is Jerusalem, and be placed there in the temple. God's presence abode there in the temple. That's where he was. Now, we see first of all, why the temple in the Old Testament? Why did God allow the temple to be built in the Old Testament? Again, we see first of all, it was a symbol of religious authority. A symbol of religious authority, the temple was. We see that God was trying to localize, if you please, or centralize a place for people to worship Him, in building the temple. It also was a symbol of God's holiness and respect of God, respecting God, bringing all to God. This is another reason why it was done. We also see it was a symbol of God's covenant with Israel in keeping the people focused upon God. You know, we all like to see, don't we, rather than hear. You know, when we see something, we're more conscious of it. We're more likely to remember it than just hearing it. And we see here God was trying to help Israel to keep their focus upon Him. Here's a place where you come and worship Me. Here's a place where you come and ask for and bring sacrifices for you to cover your sins and all this. It was also a symbol of forgiveness. We see the objects reminded the people of the badness of sin, what sin could do to their lives. We also see it prepared the people for the Messiah. The Lord's coming. We know that. So we see here the customs explain why Christ did what He did when He died for us. The furniture and all the things that are inside the temple display what God has done for us. It was also a testimony to the human effort and also for their creativity, how God gave them wisdom to do what they did. And only God could do that. You know, I marvel today at the buildings. You go downtown Raleigh or any big city and see the monstrous buildings that people build. How in the world do they do that? You know, it just marvels me. Somebody, God has given some wisdom somewhere to be able to do that. And my, as we look at the temple, if you see pictures of it and all this, how God gave Solomon wisdom to be able to put this thing together. Just like God gave Noah the ability to build the ark, didn't He? Likewise, He gave Solomon the wisdom and the ability to do this. You know, it's amazing how God, what God can do, what God does do. It also was a place of prayer. People could spend time there with God in prayer. You know, we have the church today, the house of God. We come here and we worship God, we sing, we praise God, we pray, we are taught the Word of God, and I'm thankful today that we have the church building, aren't you? We can come together and meet together and worship Him. We can worship Him in a home. We don't have to come here, but we can come here together and encourage one another by being together, by being here and learning from the Word of God. So we see the seeking the Lord is the key to the book of Chronicles. Seeking the Lord is the key for God's remedy for a sick nation, for us today. Seeking the Lord. We ought to be seeking the Lord every day, folks. Every day of our lives. Asking Him to guide us. Guide us and help us. So now, let's look at the temple in verse chapter 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse number 1. We're going to notice three things here. Where, who, and why. Where, who, and why in these verses you see. Look at verse number 1. Verse 1 through 6. First of all, then said Solomon, the Lord hath said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. But I have built an house of habitation for thee, and a place for thy dwelling forever. And the king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath with his hands fulfilled that which he spake with his mouth to my father David, saying, since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build a house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel. But I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there, and I have chosen David to be over my people Israel. So we see here, first of all, where the temple is to be built. It's, the Lord said it's going to be built in Jerusalem. That's where about the temple. In Jerusalem, you see here. Now, let's notice who. Who was selected? Verse number 7. The Bible says again, now it was in the heart of David, my father, to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to David, my father, forasmuch as it was in thine heart to build an house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart. Notwithstanding, thou shalt not build thy house, but thy son, which shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build a house for my name. The Lord, therefore, hath performed his word that he has spoken. For I am risen up in the room of David, my father, and am set on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built the house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. So we see that Solomon was the one chosen to build the temple here. David would wanted to, but God said, no, your son has been chosen, Solomon. Your son has been chosen. Now let's look at why. Why the temple? Verse number 11. And in it I have put the ark, wherein is the covenant of the Lord, and he made with the children of Israel. We see here to house the ark of God. To house the ark of God, and again, for people to honor the Lord in this place. So we see these things about the temple here in these verses. Now, we see for 7 years they have been working and laboring and building the temple. That's a long time, isn't it? 7 years. And all the people that were involved, they built the temple on Mount Moriah, and it's now completed. Now, in chapter 6, again, it's time for the dedication of the special place that God has raised up. It's time for the dedication, the temple. And the people have all gathered together for the special occasion, for this special occasion here. And Solomon is kneeling on a platform that he made, and he begins his dedication service. You know, I thank God for dedication service. I remember when this building here was dedicated. How many of you here were here when this building was dedicated? Not a lot of us, but some of us was. I wasn't a member of this church when it was dedicated, but I came for the service because I heard about it. It was a very special service when this building was dedicated. When the gym over here was all completed, we dedicated that building to the Lord. Remember that? How many of you remember that? We all went on there on one Wednesday night and had a big dedication time for that building. You see, it's proper and it's honorable to give God the glory for what He does in providing us places that we can come and worship Him in and serve Him in. And so we see here, here's the time now has been set. The time has come to pass, come now for this dedication service. That means to set apart, to set it apart. That's what dedication means, for a purpose or for some reason another that things are done. Now let's notice, first of all, in verse number 12 in 2 Chronicles chapter number 6, verse number 12, and he stayed before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad, and 3 cubits high, and has set it in the midst of the court, and upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hand towards heaven. But see, here's Solomon at the dedication time. He's standing on the platform, he kneels down, and lifts up his head, his arms towards the Lord, and begins to thank God for what he's done in verse number 12 and verse number 13. Now, we also see the next verse, verse number 14, and he said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven, nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto the servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. God, there's nobody like you. You're the only God. You're the only true and living God. I'm so glad today there is only one God. If there was more than one God, we'd all be confused, wouldn't we? We wouldn't know who to worship. But there's only one God. God makes it simple and plain in his word that we do that. We do that. So we see begin his praise here to the Lord for what he's done here. So we see here in this passage of scripture something very important. In verse number 17 through 21, we see here in his prayer, he first recognizes the purpose of the house, purpose of the temple, the purpose of that. Look at verse number 17. Now then, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified, which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David, made known. Let thy word be made known. But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heavens of heaven cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built? Have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant and to the supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the deep prayer, which thy servant prayeth before thee. That thine eyes may be open unto this house day and night upon the place whereof thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth towards this place. Hearken, therefore, unto the supplications of thy servant and of thy people Israel, which they shall make towards this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven, and when thou hearest, forgive. We see here, first of all, Solomon is recognizing there's not a house big enough for God. He controls the universe. He's bigger than the world. You know, we've seen that little course he used to. He's got the whole world in his hands. Amen? And he does. There's not a house big enough to put God in. You can't put God in a house. He's everywhere. He's all present, and he's acknowledging that. The universe cannot control that. Back in chapter 2 of 2 Chronicles, verse number 6 says similar to the same thing. But who is able to build him a house, seeing the heaven of heavens cannot contain him? Who am I then that I should build him a house, save only to burn sacrifice before him? That's why Solomon built it, burnt sacrifice for him as they bring these things to him, you see. God's presence abode here, is what I'm saying, in the temple. That's where God's presence was. And the people could come there for whatever reason they need to come there. It's a place where men ought to come to meet God in order to find forgiveness of sin. They brought sacrifices there. I'm glad that we don't have to do that today. We're living in a different dispensation, and we don't have to bring sacrifices to cover our sins. The sacrifice of animals could never put away their sins, but it covered their sins. It covered their sins. And Jesus Christ paid the price for all our sins. We see here, he said, Lord, keep your eyes on this place continually. And when the people come here to pray, hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. That was Solomon's prayer to God concerning this temple. When people come to ask forgiveness, forgive them. Forgive them. We also see here, not only that it was for the purpose of the house, but it was to be a place for the selling of their sins, dealing with their sins before God, dealing with their sins. We know personal sins and national sins, all kinds of sins. We know that sin is always destructive, is it not? Sin in a person's life brings destruction to your life. We see all these people killing people and all these things. It's nothing in the world but sin is all it is. People are sin-possessed. Therefore, they're demon-possessed, literally. It calls them to do what they do. Sin will destroy. It will destroy. It will destroy you individually. It will destroy a nation. It will destroy a church. It will destroy anything when sin gets involved with it, when sin gets to it. You know, again, the Bible says in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. To any people. So sin will destroy here. So again, this is a place where people come to deal with their sins before God. Bring their sins before the Lord. You know, again, God is so merciful to mankind in regards to their sins. He deals with us individually. Isn't that wonderful? He don't deal with us as a group, but He deals with us personally. And I'm so thankful for that today. God knows my heart. He knows my sins. He knows your hearts. He knows what you're dealing with in your life. And therefore, He deals with us individually. He comes to me personally and say, Keith, you know about this? I say, yeah, I do. You know, and I ask God to forgive me and get God to help me in all these things. But that's the way God works. I'm glad He did this. But this was a place, again, for people to deal with their sin. Forgiveness is necessary to save us from the destruction that sin brings. Forgiveness is necessary. We keep sin in our hearts and our lives, we're going to be out of fellowship with God, first of all. And therefore, if we're not going to treat our fellow man right, we're not going to treat one another right, and this is going to be a destructive thing in our life. We have to deal with it daily. I'm glad that we don't have to go to the temple, aren't you? I'm glad we don't have to take a sacrifice. But this is the purpose of it being done here in this. We see, may this be a place where truth is revealed, he says. I want people to know the truth here when they come to this place, the temple, a place of truth. I'm glad that church is a place of truth. It's a place where the Word of God is open and we have to deal with the truth that we hear from the Word of God here in this place as we come week after week. Now, we see beginning in verse number 22, we see seven things that Solomon brings before the Lord as far as petitions with the people. It's kind of a comparison to 1 John 1:9 for us. For if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, Solomon is bringing these petitions before the Lord and asking Him, as people would do this, will you do this? We notice here in verse number 22, we see the Bible says, then hear thou from heaven and do, and judge thy servants by requiting the wicked by recompensing his way upon his own head, and by justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness. And we see here in this one verse, verse 22, and then verse number 23, God is dealing with here. He says, if a man sins against his neighbor, but denies he's guilty. If he denies he's guilty, the Bible says here, and is brought to the altar, take an oath that he is innocent, may you reveal the truth to him, that righteousness may be justified. In other words, justice may be given here for a crime that's given, that's committed, you see. I would today that our court system, our judicial system, we give justice to things that have been done in the world in which we live. This would be a much better place. You know that? It'd be a much better place. But justice is not always given out. It's not. The jails are full of people. The jails are full of people right now that's done wicked things. That, you know, justice has not been brought to them. Justice has not come to them yet. But we find that God says, Psalm says here, and when somebody's committed a crime, Lord, they come here and they ask you to forgive them, you know, and all these things. Well, Lord, I just, you know, I want you to be the one to make the decision. We also see in verse number 24 and verse 25, verse number 24, the Bible says, And if thy people, Israel, be put to the worse before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name, and pray and make supplication before thee in this house, then, he says, hear thou from the heavens, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again into the land which thou gavest to them and to their fathers. Again, talking about sin. He's dealing with sin. Solomon says, God, please deal with sin this way, he says here. If your people go out and fight against their enemies and are defeated because they have sinned, if they come to your house, if they come to the temple, he says, and confess their sins and seek your help, will you help? Will you dwell there? Will you forgive their sins and help them? Will you forgive their sins and help them? It's like us today when we know we've done something wrong, we go before God and ask Him to forgive us. What does He do? He forgives us if we ask Him sincerely. He will forgive us. In verse 26 and verse 27, he's talking about here a drought. If there comes a drought, a dry spell, nothing's growing, nothing's going on. He says, if you punish their sins by bringing a drought on the land, and they come to this place, that is the temple, and confess and turn from their sin, then hear from your place in heaven and forgive their sins and send rain. And send rain. How many of y'all be years ago? Of course, I was raised on a farm. Some of you were, some of you were not. I remember the time we used to go to church. It'd be Wednesday night, Sunday night, when it was. Sometimes they did it between then. When it was a dry spell, you'd all go to church. Not all of them, but a lot of them did. They'd go to church and pray for rain. Anybody remember that? I do. I remember that sometimes. I remember one time we went, and I was probably about 10, 12 years old. And I noticed people as they went in, there's a little old lady there, was a Sunday school teacher. She had an umbrella. She had an umbrella when she went. She went and they prayed. It didn't rain that time, that moment, but it rained in a couple of days. But someone asked her, Sister Ruby Hooks was her name, said, why did you bring the umbrella? I said, I'm expecting God to do something. You know, if I ask God for something, you know, He's promised to give what we need. Therefore, I believe this. This is my faith. I bring the umbrella. I have faith in God. And, you know, we need to have more faith in God, folks. Whenever things are not going the way we think they should go or we would desire them to go, God wants us to ask for things. He wants us to ask for things. When it's a dry spell right here, there's nothing wrong with us asking God to send rain. Nothing wrong. He wants us to. Listen, we have not because we ask not. Many times we don't get what we need because we don't ask for it. You know, God's just got no handing out to us, is He? He's not. He wants us to ask for it. So He speaks about sending rain here. And then we see in verse number 28, verse number 28, He talks about famine, crop failure. You know, all these things taking place in their lives as the Israelites. When these damages come by strong winds or a locust, or whatever it is, if they come to this place, if they come to the temple, he says, and confess their sins and seek your forgiveness, do forgive them, and may you give them what they need from their heart. He says this in verse, let's look at verse number 28. If there be dearth in the land, if there be pestilence, if there be blasting of mildew, locusts, or caterpillars, if their enemies besiege them in the cities of their land, whatsoever sore or whatsoever sickness there be, then what prayer or what supplication soever shall be made of any man or of all thy people, Israel, whenever one shall know his own sore and his own grief, and shall spread forth his hands to this house. Then, he says, hear, thou from heaven, thy dwelling place, and forgive, and render unto every man according unto all his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men. Again, God knows their hearts. He knows what they need, and Solomon is praying to help them. In verses 32 through verse 37, he talks about strangers in their place here, coming to the temple. What are we to do with strangers when they come to the temple? People that don't normally come here. And, he tells them what to do about that. Verse 34, he talks about war. When your people go out to war, they come to this place to pray for your help. Help them in the battle. Help them in the battles. Help them in the battles. This is a place to come to pray. This is a place, a temple, to meet God. God's presence is there. And Solomon said, no matter what the needs of the people, if they come there and pray, God will supply that need. God would help them and supply the needs that they have at this time. And in verse 36, we find here, if your people sin against you, and they are taken as captives to another country, if they turn to you and confess their sins, and they turn towards the house and pray, forgive their sin and help their cause. Their sins. Look at verse number 36. If they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not. Do you get that? There is no man that what? Sinneth not. There is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives into a land far off or near. Yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done this, and have dealt wickedly. If they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whether they have carried therein captivities and prayed towards the land which thou gavest unto them, fathers, and toward their city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thine sake, then hear thou from the heaven, even them that dwelling in thy dwelling place, their prayers and their supplications. Hear it, he says. Solomon says, do that, and also maintain their cause and forgive thy people which thou hast sinned against thee. Solomon is giving some petitions here before the Lord concerning the people of the nation of Israel. If they do this, God, would you forgive them? If they do this, would you help them? You know, and God says, yes, I will. God will. You know, God always wants to help people. He loves people. He loves everybody. He loves everybody. For God so loved the world. We see that. And we see here, this is the petitions that Solomon made before the Lord as he dedicated the building, the temple now to God. He's giving it to God, and he wants it to be used for God's honor, for God's glory. And so we see here today what's taking place in this as we look at the purpose of the house and the dealing with sin in the house, the temple that God has raised up here in Jerusalem. Next Sunday, the Lord willing, we're going to talk about the response of God in Solomon's dedication prayer. How did God respond to this? You know, I'm so glad that when somebody goes before the Lord humbly from their heart, God always responds in a positive way. He always responds in a good way. He meets the needs of all people, no matter who we are. I'm glad today to know as we look at this, we're talking about God's responding, God's replying to a sick nation. How does he reply to a sick nation? Here's a nation that was sick. Our country is sick. Same promises given to Israel are given to us today. We're God's people, aren't we? We're God's people. And if we do what God says we are to do, God's going to do certainly what he said he would do. I believe that with all my heart. Father, we're grateful today for your love. We're grateful, Lord, for examples, Lord, in history concerning the nation of Israel, and Lord, how you have helped them, and how, Lord, you've shown us, dear God, that you love us, and you love your people, and you love righteousness. You want things to be right. You don't want wickedness to abound. And God, we thank you, Lord, that we live in this dispensation, Lord, where we can have the Holy Spirit living in us as your children. And God, that you can deal with us personally and individually, and Lord, not as a nation. But Lord, I just pray, God, you'd help us now as we continue, Lord, to study. And Lord, as we look at the needs that we have in this country, the needs we have in our lives, and what can we do? What should I be doing as a Christian? Lord, what is my part? Lord, to make this world a better place to live in. Lord, strengthen us, encourage us in your word now. Lord, as we go into the next service, I pray, Lord, your will be accomplished. Be with our pastor. Be with the special singing. And Lord, all this done, I pray, God, to bring honor to you. And Lord, if there's one in our midst today that's lost, Lord, somehow may the Spirit of God apply the word of God to their heart. And may he draw them to the Lamb of God before it's eternally too late. Lord, glorify yourself today. And all that's done here, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.